Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come before you today, that you would open us up to hear your word, that you would give us understanding, that you would give us insight, and that you would teach us, we pray. Amen. An American politician was once heard to address a crowd, and when he stood up before the crowd at the first moment, he said, "I believe we're here for two things today. The first thing is that I'm going to speak to you, and the second thing is that you are going to listen to me." And then he went on to say, "And I hope that I finish before you do." Sometimes when people talk to us, it's as if the lights are on, but no one's home. How many times, husbands, has your wife spoken to you, you acknowledge what they have said, but when they ask you later to go and do what they asked you to do, you cannot remember at all what they've said to you. Sometimes we need a visual example to help us to listen. And that's what God is doing with the Israelites this morning. God has spoken to them time and time and time again, and they have stopped listening to him. God has spoken to them so often through the prophets, not just through Jeremiah, but through many other prophets. And it's as if they just couldn't care less about what the prophets were saying. Jeremiah, in fact, has spoken to the people time and time again about their superstition of the temple, about their superstition in the covenant. He's warned them about worshipping other gods. And he's told them that if they don't stop, they will face the wrath of God. But all these warnings seem to have fallen on deaf ears. So God picks up his strategy here and gives them a practical illustration of what he is talking about. So let's have a look and see what is going on here this morning. Firstly, and I've got three comments that I want to make this morning. My first comment is that God wants to show us off. Now that might sound a little bit weird, but hopefully as we get into the passage, you'll begin to understand what I mean by that. Have a look at chapter 13 and verse 1. "Go and buy a linen belt and put it round your waist." Jeremiah is given quite a simple command. Be like us, Dion, go across to the flea market on Saturday and buy yourself a belt from the guy that sells belts there. However, there's a couple of things about this belt that we are meant to take note of. The first is that it is a linen belt. It's not a leather belt, but it is a linen belt. Now, there is some discussion amongst commentators, and you'll notice in different translations that some translations speak of a loincloth, in other words, underwear. But the NIV here uses the idea of a belt, something that is visible, that is shown off. And I believe that the right interpretation here is a belt rather than underwear, because Jeremiah is to wear this outside and the people are to take note of it. It is supposed to be seen. So the idea here is of a visible belt, but not just a belt of any sort. It's not just a little thin strip of linen that Jeremiah is commanded to buy. I believe that this is something like a cummerbund. You remember when you dress up smart in a tuxedo and what? You often wear a cummerbund, which is a decorative belt. It is something that is visible. It's to make you look smart. And it was normally highly decorated, and something that was worn by people of nobility, by important officials, and so on. It showed your authority, it showed your class, it showed your superiority, if you like, to those around you. So this isn't just some ordinary belt. Secondly, we are also to take note that this is a linen belt. Now you might recall that when God commanded the Israelites in the desert, there were certain commands that he gave to certain groups of people. And one of those commands that he gave to the ancestors and to Aaron and his ancestors was that they, as the priests, were to wear only linen. And so I think we are meant to understand here that this decorative belt that Jeremiah has to purchase is not only a great visible sign, but is also something that is worn by the priests. Now you can just imagine here, Jeremiah, dressed probably as a normal prophet of the day, and you'll remember how prophets used to dress. John the Baptist is a prime example of how prophets dressed. In fact, Elijah dressed in the same way. They wear rough clothing. Today we would say something like Hessian or maybe a pure wool shirt. And you know, if you've ever worn pure wool, it's scratchy. It's not soft and comfortable like cotton. And the prophets would wear things like that. John the Baptist wore camel skin. Now, if you've ever stroked a camel, you know how rough a camel's skin is. And here, we've got Jeremiah probably dressed like that, and then wearing this priestly belt that is highly decorated. Probably looked rather weird, wouldn't he? It'd be like me wearing my work shorts, which are splattered in paint and are torn slightly, wearing a pair of grubby slops or something like that, and then putting on my clerical collar. It would look really weird, and people would look funny at me. And I think that is the idea here, that God is saying to Jeremiah, this is what I want you to look like. I want people to notice how you've dressed. I want people to see that you are indeed a prophet. And now you've got this decorative belt around your waist. Perhaps another thing that these belts were also made for was that they were not just loose-fitting belts, but they were well-fitted belts. Much like you and I might go to a tailor to get a suit or a pair of pants fitted to our exact shape. And these belts fitted snugly around a person's waist. They were there, they had a function, but they were also decorative. And as people wore these belts, people would give the person honor and glory and respect because of the belt that they were wearing. Perhaps think for a moment when your spouse puts on some new clothing. And you might comment to them, well, love, that looks absolutely fabulous on you. You're not commenting about the actual item of clothing more so than the item of clothing makes your spouse look even more beautiful than they were. You're giving honor and glory to them rather than to the item of clothing. You don't go and say, oh, well, love, you know, that shirt is an amazing shirt, but it does nothing for you. That is just going to face your spouse's wrath. You compliment the person on what they are wearing. Like when you get your hair cut. You compliment the person on their haircut. But you don't compliment the person about their hair itself. And friends, that's what God is saying is happening here. As Jeremiah wears this belt, God says, I also wear a belt that leads people to bring me glory and honor and praise. You see this at the end of this section in verse 11. That he says, as a belt is bound round a man's waist, so I bound the whole house of Israel around mine to be a people that will bring me glory and praise and honor. And so, friends, in a similar way, God wants us to be like these belts. highly decorative, bringing praise to the person that wears them. In other words, we as Christians are worn by God for the sole purpose to bring glory and praise to Him. But notice here that God, that's what He's saying about this practical illustration of this belt. But notice He doesn't just stop there. He goes on. And this is my second comment, but our pride makes us useless. From verse 4 through to verse 10, we see here that God continues with His practical illustration. After some time of Jeremiah walking around Jerusalem with this belt, looking quite weird, God tells Jeremiah, now take the belt to the Euphrates River. The NIV there has the word Pereth, and you'll see the footnote there, or possibly also the Euphrates River. Now, if you know your geography of that area, you will know that the distance from Jerusalem to the Euphrates River is about 800 kilometers. That is the equivalent of from here to Kimberley. And if you're doubting that, I did Google it, and it gave 813 kilometers. Okay? But remember, they didn't have cars or aeroplanes in those days. Jeremiah would have gone on foot, perhaps if he was lucky, on a donkey, but most probably by foot. This would have been a journey that would have taken him probably a few months to complete, to go there and back. And so here's Jeremiah. God says to him, take the belt that you are wearing, go to Pereth or the Euphrates and hide it in a crevice in the rocks. Now the Euphrates was a big river at the time, and so hiding it in a crevice in the rocks would mean that it would get wet, it would get spoilt, and it would be really ultimately destroyed. So after Jeremiah's journey to the Euphrates, took him a few months, he comes back to Jerusalem. People would have noticed, oh, Jeremiah's back, and where's his belt gone? He's not wearing his fancy belt anymore. What's going on? And then we are told in verse 6, after many days, Jeremiah returned verse 7, as he comes up here, so I went to Pereth and dug up the belt and took it from the place where I had hidden it. And guess what? Is the belt still good? Can he still wear it? Notice what he says there at the end of verse 7, but now it was ruined and completely useless. Here's an ornate piece of linen. Maybe you've had the unfortunate experience of losing an item of clothing and discovering it months later in the garden. Maybe your puppy dog took out your shirt and buried it in the garden, and months later when you're digging over your garden in spring or something, you discover this great shirt that you loved. And it's now an absolute mess. It's got holes in it where worms and snails and other things have eaten it. It's dirty. It's got mud all over it. Would you wear it? Well, first thing you do is you take it and you throw it in the bin. And that's exactly what's happened here with this linen belt. So we're probably talking a period of about 6-8 months, maybe even, between God first speaking to Jeremiah and saying, go buy this linen belt, and now coming back to Jerusalem with this ugly looking piece of linen that is absolutely useless. And God says, this is useless. It can't be used for its intended purpose. Even if you could buckle it up and get it to fit properly, it would look terrible and it would bring you into disrepute. And God says in this illustration, this is what the people of Israel are like. Verse 9, in the same way I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. These wicked people who refuse to listen to my words, who follow the stubbornness of their hearts and go after other gods to serve and worship them, will be like this belt, completely useless. You remember that the people of Israel were God's choice. They were his pride. And so in terms of this illustration, they were this lovely ornate belt. But now, because they have left God behind, they, and what does Jeremiah say here, because of their stubbornness, because of their serving other gods, they are now looking like a useless piece of cloth that has no purpose. You see, friends, that's exactly like us, isn't it? We can take so much pride in our own spirituality that we actually begin to look like a filthy rag to God. We are not doing what God wants us. We are not presenting the image, the words, the lifestyle that God wants us to portray. And we think that we trust in our spirituality, we trust in people, we trust in all sorts of other things except in God. We stubbornly follow our own desires, the desires of our own hearts. And we look for the glory instead of bringing the glory and honor to God. We think we can live like we want for God because he forgives us of our sin. So we come to church when it suits us. And as long as things go right in my life, we're happy to watch God. We say the right things in front of the minister. And we think, hey, everything's going to be fine. But in many ways, friends, we might be seen as God, in God's eyes, as a rotten, useless piece of cloth. Remember, even in the New Testament, God speaks of us, Paul speaks about us, as being filthy rags in God's sight. But we know that God is a just and merciful God, and even though we are like filthy rags to him, God came into this world. God deals with our filthiness. And he gives us a new belt in Jeremiah's language. He makes us into new beings. But friends, what do we do with that? Do we then treat that belt in the same way that we treated the previous belt? Do we then live our lives in the same way after God has worked in our hearts, as we treated him before we became a Christian? If we continue to live in the way we did before we became a Christian, God will throw us out like a useless piece of cloth. Jeremiah mentions a couple more things to us here. So yes, we have this belt. God wants to show us off. But our pride makes us useless in God. But thirdly this morning, God wants us to bring him glory and praise. And so, my third comment, live to bring God praise. And you'll notice this is verse 10 and 11, but also in verse 15 and 16. If you just cast your eyes down to verse 15 and 16, where Jeremiah is again speaking to the people of Israel, and he says, "Hear and pay attention. Do not be arrogant or full of pride. For the Lord has spoken, give glory to the Lord your God before he brings the darkness, before your feet stumble on the darkening hills. You hope for the light, but he will turn it to thick darkness." Friends, so often we think that because I've been a Christian for more years than somebody else, that I am better than them. Our pride comes into our life. And instead of bringing praise to God, we bring praise to ourselves. Look how wonderful I am. Do you know that I have done this for the Bible and for the church and so on? We are to honor God, not bring honor to ourselves. See, if we come back to this ornate piece of clothing and remember that God wants to wear us, to show us off, then we need to treat that item of clothing with care. It means we need to live our lives for God, not for ourselves. When people look at us as Christians, when people look at us as the belt around God's waist, do they bring Him glory? Or do they curse Him? Do they see us as some dirty, useless piece of linen? Or do they bring God and give glory and honor and renown to God? Friends, we are God's belt. He wants to wear us proudly. None of us like to be seen wearing our tatty gardening clothes or our work clothes. God wants to wear us proudly. He doesn't want to wear us this tatty, old piece of clothing. He wants us to live for Him. He wants us to honor Him. So will you allow Him to wear you as a new, ornate piece of clothing? Or are you just a filthy rag that is actually useless that He will then throw away for us? Fortunately, friends, God has given us new clothes, but we need to honor Him in what we do. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank You for our time together this morning. Lord, as we've looked at this illustration of this belt, we pray that You would help us to be ornate, to bring You honor and glory, and not to think of ourselves as more important. Lord, help us to live our lives for You. Help us to honor You. Help us to glorify You in the way that we live, so that when other people look at us, they bring honor and glory to You. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.